It used to be that proximity to natural resources dictated industrial success. People took what grew or grazed around them, processed it, and sold it to customers near and far. Minnesotans had wheat. By the mid-1800s, the Roaring Falls of St. Anthony helped grind farmers' produce into flour. People from around the world soon developed an abiding appetite for the output of Minnesota flour mills. David Wiggins is a historian at the Minnesota Historical Society.
We were the focal point for the industrialization of food, and by making flour here in unheard of quantities at an unprecedented quality and exporting that all over the world, we changed how people related to farms all over the world. No longer was it possible to compete with the Minneapolis mills in Turkey.
By the late 1880s, Wiggins says Minnesota millers exported 35% of their flour abroad. Money flowed in from across the globe. But today, knowledge is the vital resource that companies and indeed whole economies must turn into industrial might. V.V. Chari is chairman of the economics department at the University of Minnesota.
As the level of competition increases, we're all forced through the process of competition to try and be the best that we can be at the particular job that we're doing.
It's the basic principle of international trade. Countries and states should focus on their competitive advantage. But in an information age, companies in Taiwan can do what firms in Minneapolis do, perhaps better. These days, why an industry sprouts here and not in Taipei may at times seem frighteningly arbitrary. Consider Medtronic, what's now a multi-billion dollar global medical technology powerhouse, began as a humble garage startup. If it weren't for one Earl Bakken and the University of Minnesota, where he studied, Minnesota might not have one of its most important corporations, as well as the roughly 8,000 medtech and healthcare companies that have sprouted around it to create a region known internationally as Medical Alley. Bill George is CEO of Medtronic.
I don't think we could have done it if we hadn't had the base support here from Minnesota, the high technology area we're in, the academic learning, the ability to attract high quality employees at all levels, from production to R&D to marketing and sales to management.
George says Medtronic will add 1,000 to 1,200 new employees this year. And though labor is tight, he says the company won't have much trouble finding new talent. George says that's because Medtronic pays well. It may also be because people who want to work in medical technology come to Minnesota. Just like people who want to be stockbrokers often go to Wall Street. Medical Alley has become what economists call a cluster, a locus for a single industry. MedTech engineers may move to Minnesota because they know that whatever happens, there are dozens of companies hungry for their expertise. And medical technology investors who help fund the industry are comfortable putting their money in other similar companies because they know the risks and the rewards. The upshot of all this, customers from around the world look to Minnesota for medical devices, like people look to Idaho for potatoes. Again, the U of M's V.V. Chari.
The flip side of the statement that our competitors are across the world is that our markets are across the world. Then the size of our markets is vastly bigger than anything we ever dreamt of. And so therefore, if we're very good at doing something, then we have 6 billion people will come rushing to our door.
Minnesota companies are also leaders in manufacturing heavy industrial equipment, tiny electronic monitors, and sheet glass for skyscrapers. The state exported about $9 billion worth of manufactured goods last year. That's about 55% more than in 1990. By way of comparison, Minnesota exported about $2.4 billion worth of agricultural goods in 1998, according to the latest data available. That was 10% less than in 1997. State economist Tom Stinson says exports of products and services will become increasingly vital to the state's well-being.
Trade is crucial to Minnesota's economy, and it's going to be even more important as we look out into the future. And the reason why is we produce things that we sell to other people, and the growth in the demand for items that we produce is greater outside of Minnesota and greater outside of the U.S. Than it is internally.
Some say it's nice to be known for medical devices from Medtronic and sheets of glass from Marvin and Anderson Windows, but the state needs to become a nexus for high technology companies that sell things like software and telecommunications equipment. Some local business leaders say being located in Minnesota can sometimes be more hindrance than help. William Cadigan is CEO of ADC Telecommunications, which makes components that help information flow faster across fiber optic cables. He's among those who say Minnesota doesn't have a dynamic cluster of high-tech companies.
The issue of lack of critical mass causes a lot of people not to look at our state currently. If that issue were dealt with and we had a good mix of both large companies like ADC as well as an established group of startup companies, I think that would go a long way towards making ADC a more successful company and one that would further attract others into the state of Minnesota.
Not that ADC is doing badly. This year, its sales are expected to grow by 50% to about $3 billion. But in some ways, it's only nominally a Minnesota company. 75% of its 20,000 employees work outside the state, in places like Dallas and Silicon Valley. Cadigan says that's partly because the company can't find enough qualified workers in Minnesota. He says politicians, the University of Minnesota, and companies like ADC have to work together to promote high-tech business development. The tricky part is figuring out how to make the state a magnet for high-tech industries. Perhaps the best thing to do is encourage the spirit that built the Twin Cities in the first place. 100 years ago, the Riverside flour mills, even as they thrived, had to innovate to stay ahead. Milling engineers created increasingly sophisticated machines to manage the flow of water and flour. Financiers learned to utilize the flows of money that came rushing in. Again, the Historical Society's David Wiggins.
The millers here in the 19th century got very good at controlling these flows and using them to their advantage. And those skills in managing complex systems of flows are a terrific business asset as we look at the economy evolving towards less tangible things, information flowing around.
It may not be such a stretch, after all, to think of fiber optic cables as the rivers of yore. Success in the global economy will likely depend on harnessing their power. I'm Andrew Haig, Minnesota Public Radio.